The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL. The PFF podcast is brought to you by TrueCar. In sports, a trade can make or break your team. A good one can mean a championship, but a bad one can set your franchise back for years. It's no different when it comes to selling or trading in your car. You need to make good choices, and with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Got a sports package or a moonroof? Watch as they bump up your car's value in real time. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can strategize your next move. Once you've finished, you'll get a TrueCar cash offer sent in minutes. Then just bring your car into a local certified dealer and they'll check your car with you together. After that, you can cash out or trade in for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas. The PFF NFL podcast is also brought to you by Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all for free. No credit card needed. No sign up. Pluto TV is easy and a completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today. The PFF podcast is also brought to you by MyBookie. Have you ever wanted to place a bet, but you didn't because you were afraid to pick the wrong team? This Thanksgiving, it's finally possible for you to get a 100% refund on your bet if you lose it. With the Turkey Day free play, you could bet the spread on either the Bears or the Lions. If it wins, you win. If it loses, MyBookie will give you your money back up to $250. You literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. MyBookie offers such a great product, and there has literally never been a better time to try them out. Unless your sportsbook is offering something like this, I think you should make the switch. I've never heard of a sportsbook doing a freebie like this, and I doubt it'll ever happen again. These guys are trustworthy, fast, and helpful, so I know they're good for it. New to sports betting and have lots of questions? That's okay, too, because MyBookie's patient customer service can walk you through any questions you have about how betting works. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code PFF to get a 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code PFF. You don't need a promo code for your Turkey Day free play. If you lose, we'll credit the money back into your account automatically. What are you waiting for? Sign up today and don't miss out on the gravy train at MyBookie. Welcome in to the PFF NFL podcast. We are live here at 9:05 Eastern time, Wednesday morning. We're live on YouTube and we're recording a little bit early this week, Sam, because it's Thanksgiving week and we want to just get our weekend preview out there early for everyone traveling for Thanksgiving.
We are, and this wins you a bet. You assured me we were going to be live at 9:05. I said there was no way that was going to happen, and bet you one of the lunches that you're going to owe me because of the foolish bets you made earlier in the season.
Well, here's the thing.
So it looks like you've clawed one back.
This is kind of like scoring just before the half and then getting the ball back in the second half. Once Brandon Graham picks up 6 sacks over these last few weeks, all of a sudden I'm getting lunches from you.
Well, yeah, if that happens, you would, in fact, turn the tables.
Yes, but that's what I'm expecting. I earned one lunch back by being on time, which was great, and unlike the rest of this week here. And then Brandon Graham's going to pick up 6 sacks, or the Raiders are going to win out, either one.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the action. What do we do for Thursday? We usually like to predict Thursday games and, you know, predict the future.
Yeah.
But right now we're recording early. Most people, a lot of people are going to be listening to this before.
Right.
The
we're
Thursday
recording
games.
Early enough that I would say we don't have to predict the future because people will actually still be in the past.
So let's just break down the Thanksgiving games then.
Yeah.
And we'll put our Nostradamus.
Wow.
What?
I mean, okay, that was a struggle.
Not as big of a struggle as Jason Witten.
No, that was epic. In fact, we should definitely stitch that.
No,
in
that's
right
mean.
Here.
That's really mean.
We
please
definitely stitch it in.
Don't do it, Jason.
That was one of the most amazing pronunciation attempts I have ever heard in my life.
Let's not
to the point where I had to rewind the TV to make sure that I hadn't had like a stroke.
Let's not be mean.
Like, did I even hear that?
Let's not be mean.
I tweeted it earlier.
We all make our mistakes. We have people that. Okay, make fun of us because
apparently
they think we don't talk about football enough.
Apparently, Steve won't let me stitch this into the podcast. So instead, go to my Twitter, find the clip of Jason Witten trying to pronounce a name, and you know, enjoy.
All right. So if you're listening to this after Thanksgiving, you might not want to hear us preview the three games. You could fast forward a little bit, but we're going to preview the three Thanksgiving games, starting with the noon game. And by the way, this is great. It's all NFC games. For Thanksgiving. It's usually, you know, you have one AFC team in there or whatever, but it's all NFC. Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. That's going to be your early kickoff on Thanksgiving. Sam, what are you doing with the Chicago fans? They hate me.
They do hate you.
You've been pretty neutral on them.
Yeah, I've been steering that ship middle of the road to avoid the wrath of the Chicago Bears fans because I'm fighting too many battles and too many fronts right now. I can't add another team to the whole thing.
A bunch of Bears fans went full Eagles fan on us because, you know, we tried to mend the bridge, so to speak, by posting a video this week that said, you know, are the Bears the best defense in the NFL? What we talked about on the podcast the other day. And they're like, no, you trashed our young quarterback. We're still going to hate this video and thumbs down it and you can't make it up.
Are you bringing me YouTube comments again?
Yeah, there are viewers and listeners.
Okay.
I also have the thumbs down numbers that I can look at.
I can't believe you're actually looking at that. So, the big story from the last time these two teams played was Khalil Mack again being a one-man wrecking machine. And we've kind of quantified that already this season, that basically if you take out the games where he was playing hurt, I mean, if you look at the PFF grading, if you go to Premium Stats and you Premium Stats 2.0, you see the color scheme and you can kind of get a quick glance way of his game-by-game grades. They're all excellent except the games where he was hurt. Right, and you get this banged up Khalil Mack. You see the immediate dip in performance, and then it bounces back up when he was healthy. And those injured games account for the only two games of the season where he hasn't had a sack, and they account for two of the three games in this season where he hasn't had a strip sack, like a forced fumble at the end of this thing.
Right.
So he has just been unstoppable when he's been healthy. And we saw against the Lions, that was the famous highlight, where he tossed the tight end aside, who was trying to chip block him, then ran right over Taylor Decker at left tackle, sacked Matthew Stafford. I mean, he started off in his career, and he was a really top-quality run defender right from the get-go. So rookie Khalil Mack was already a phenomenal run defender. Then he added the pass rush to his game over the next couple of seasons. And then he took another step forward where he wasn't just an elite pass rusher, but he was a pass rusher that was finding ways to make these game-defining plays. Turnovers,
right.
Strip sacks, you know, interceptions falling off into passing lanes on screens, all this kind of stuff. And that's the Khalil Mack we got right now. That's why the guy was worth multiple first-round picks, worth the best defense or the richest defender in the NFL contract, because not only is he getting consistent pass rush, even the games where he's hurt, he's gotten pressures this season. Every single game, he's gotten a ton of pressure. But he's making those game-defining plays as well. He's getting the strip sacks. He is changing the outcome of games by those turnovers.
Yeah, and the Bears, they do have our top-ranked defense in the NFL right now. They do have one of the highest safeties in the league right now with Eddie Jackson, who continues to make big plays. Akeem Hicks was outstanding the other night. And then Detroit, fascinating. Now, that they traded for Damon Harrison and now have three of the top nine graded interior defensive lineman, big snacks, Damon Harrison, and then the two Bama guys, Deshaun Hand, who's just been one of the biggest surprises as a rookie this year, and then former Bama player A'shaun Robinson. So is Matt Patricia building his Vince Wilfork, Richard Seymour, Ty Warren defensive front there in Detroit?
Well, A, is he doing that, and B, does that work anymore?
Well, yeah, that's the
that was really good back in 03, but the game's progressed a little bit since then.
It has.
Like, it sounds silly. It's not that long ago. You know, we are old enough, you and I, to remember those games. Maybe some of our listeners aren't, but there's a lot of people that will be. And it doesn't feel like it was that long ago to old-ass people like us. But if you go back, like for a few years, PFF was going back in time in the off-season and adding like a season's worth of data. So we went and did 2006 after the fact. You know, so 2008 was the first season we got kind of live up on the website. But we've since done 2007. We've done 2006. And when you go back to those old games, it's a different world. Like, it's amazing how little resemblance that bears to the NFL of today in terms of what offenses are doing. Everybody's got a fullback. Everybody's running from I formation, two receivers out in patterns. Now it's, you know, 11 personnel, three wide receivers is the thing. You know, the Rams are running that 90-odd% of the time. It is a completely different world. So you think back to these Patriots defenses. Okay, maybe he is building this 0-3 Patriots front. I don't know that works anymore.
No,
that's not what teams are run. That's not what you need to defend in today's NFL.
Right. I mean, it's not bad to have those players, but it's not bad to have those players playing well, but you still need to be building around the pass rush. Again, as we saw on Monday night, the pass rush is, you know, able to make those game-changing plays. Two quick notes here. Matthew Stafford this year, I always mention he has, like, you know, a few games where he looks like a top five quarterback. He's kind of had a couple of those games this year, but not the high end type of play. We've seen him do it on Thanksgiving before, so, you know, is this the week where he just looks like a superstar? He's struggled in recent weeks. He's struggled a little bit since they lost Golden Tate. Kenny Galladay's definitely stepped up as a go-to guy, but Marvin Jones banged up and no Golden Tate. Stafford's production has taken a hit a little bit over these last couple weeks.
Great example last week of a play. Again, this difference between passer rating versus what the quarterback actually did.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Galladay saved Matthew Stafford from an interception, went up over an out route or a comeback or something to the sideline. Stafford left it inside and behind the receiver. That's like the cardinal sin on those plays. That's where the defensive back is that he's running away from. So should have been an interception. Galladay basically took it away from the defensive back at the catch point, somehow stayed in bounds, although actually if you watch the replay, he didn't. They just thought he did.
They thought he did.
Let it run anyway. Stayed in bounds, went up the sideline, got some extra yardage. So what could and maybe should have been an interception, which obviously takes a sledgehammer to your passer rating, ended up being a very positive reception, which gets credited to Matthew Stafford.
Right.
So again, when you're factoring in how does passer rating, the stats relate to the PFF grade, negative PFF grade on that play, very positive passer rating statistical outcome. One more point I would make just with the Khalil Mack thing. He'll be going up against Taylor Decker largely, and Decker has been poor as a run blocker, so that's a big advantage for Khalil Mack. He's been much better as a pass blocker, but even there, he's going to be completely overmatched against Khalil Mack, who is amazing. But every single game this season, Taylor Decker has given up at least one hurry or at least one pressure, and the worst game of his season obviously came against Khalil Mack the first time.
Let me make one point on, we haven't mentioned Mitchell Trubisky yet. Bring up Trubisky.
How would you like to hate on him this time?
Oh, I'm just going to talk.
Okay.
And just give some completely objective viewpoints here. Our guy, Zach Robinson, who's our QB guru, checks every single QB grade, right? Former NFL quarterback. He's like the final eyes on every quarterback grade. I trust him quite a bit. I think one of his biggest strengths is understanding how certain quarterbacks do against defensive schemes. I've joked before, sometimes like if I was head coach of an NFL team, I would honestly consider having a quarterback as a defensive coordinator, because I really think, like, listening to Zach describe how would you attack Trubisky and Stafford and all these quarterbacks, he's got a great feel for it. The thing that he said, Trubisky's two highest graded games have come against the Tampa Bay Bucs and then 2 weeks ago against the Detroit Lions, and his explanation is it makes perfect sense. Those are the teams who kind of show you what they're going to do pre-snap. They don't do a ton of disguising. The Lions are blitzing at an incredibly low rate. They're not even stunting. They're running this very basic defense, and stylistically, that's a good fit for a Mitch Trubisky the way he plays. So we could see another big game, and it's in a dome. Could see another big game for Trubisky here, but in Zach's mind, when you have teams like the Bucs or the Lions, it would be no surprise that those are the two highest graded games that we've seen from Trubisky so far this season.
I like the concept that he dreamed up of Patricia running this like 5-year plan to install his defense. Like year one is pure vanilla. We're just going cover one. Year two, we'll start adding, you know, the stunts.
Right.
Year three, we'll add some disguises on the back end. By year five, this defense is going to be cooking.
Yeah. We both take Chicago in this one, even though Detroit, Thanksgiving, I don't know. I don't even
this
know.
This is a no-win game for us. Lions fans hate us. Bears fans hate us. There's nothing we can do.
True.
Unless
we
split. Like if one of us had taken the Lions, just to take that bullet.
No, we both take the Bears because we just don't believe in the Lions. The Lions are just that weird team. We don't know what they are this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Redskins at the Cowboys. That's going to be your 4:30 game on Thanksgiving. It's the Colt McCoy-led Redskins going up against the Cowboys. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, this wasn't that appealing of a game. Now it's legitimate, you know, NFC East supremacy here.
Oh, I thought you were going the other way with that.
Like, that it's, like, less appealing?
Yeah. Colt McCoy is leading one offense against a good defense.
All right. So we were talking about this in the office the other day. What's the difference between Colt McCoy and maybe Case Keenum?
One season of really good play.
Yeah. Keenum's got a little better arm, but I could see Colt. I think Colt's one of the better backups in the NFL. I think Case Keenum's one of the better backups in the NFL.
What's the difference? Literally, it's one season. What's the difference between Colt McCoy and Case Keenum the 2017 season? Right? Heading into that season, Keenum had been not great, and anytime he'd had extended time starting, he'd look pretty bad. And consequently, he was signed to a one-year, $3 million backup deal. Then he ended up in the starting gig because of injuries and played fantastically in admittedly a pretty good situation, but he played well. And Colt McCoy has never done that. So the difference is at least that season of showing he can play well, which has put him on the Matt Castle gravy train of money as a quarterback for the rest of his life.
Yeah, poor Colt.
I mean, Colt McCoy's just never had that.
Colt needs one good game and he'll get there.
No, he needs an extended run. Can't just be one good game.
One good game. That's what happens in the NFL. I think it's going to be a tough one for him. The Cowboys' defense is pretty good. They've got guys making plays at every level, including Leighton Vander Esch playing really well at linebacker. Here's the career number that I think is telling and perhaps concerning when it comes to Colt McCoy. Passer rating of 112.2 when using play action, but only 77.9 with no play action. The play action stuff's great. All that means is you probably have to protect him a little bit, have this really well-run scheme. Early downs, you can make some plays, but if you put him into must-pass situations, he hasn't been great during, whenever he's played, essentially, in his career. So if the Cowboys do well on early downs, I think they're going to
make it
a challenge for Washington.
I would suggest that the Redskins at this point are pretty much boned. They now need to rely on their defense to carry them. And the defense is good, inconsistent, but I don't think it's good enough to carry a team, right? I don't think any defense this year is good enough to carry a team. We've said all season long, the best defense in the NFL is ranked like 15th in any normal season.
Yep.
And the Redskins are no exception, right? They have games where they look like they're really good, and then they get gashed by somebody. So that's not going to work. If you look on the offensive side of the ball, maybe if they had a top offensive line, which they've had in the past at times, but it's banged up. They're deep into the bench. They've got injuries all over the place. Their receivers haven't been making plays all season long for Alex Smith. They're not likely to turn it around for Colt McCoy, at which point you're basically relying on Adrian Peterson to carry the entire offense on his own, coupled with an average defense. So I just can't conceive of any way that can work. The only way that works is if the rest of the division is so inept that they just stumble over each other and somehow Washington maintains a one-game lead they had before Smith went down.
That's honestly possible, too.
It is, but I think for a start they lose this game, so that's probably not happening.
I mean, the way the season's going.
I didn't notice this in his sort of scouting report, and I did a lot of Leighton Vander Esch stuff, was pretty high on him coming out, thought he was first-round draft pick, one of the best linebackers in the class. His neck is Tekeo Spikes levels of wider than his head.
Wide neck guy.
And Tekeo Spikes, I think, has been the benchmark of that for like the past 15 years. I've never seen a man with a neck like Tekeo Spikes. It's amazing. I don't know if they just caught Leighton Vander Esch like in a particularly, you know, weird neck flex pose when they snapped the picture, or if he's like been beefing up the neck in the offseason. But it's incredible. Have you seen the picture?
Yeah, I have.
It's amazing.
There was some other picture of some felon.
Yes. No, I've seen that. I think that's like a medical problem, though, as opposed to just I've been like working on the neck in the gym for a while.
But it's like actually comparable.
Hmm.
or the felon picture's doctored. I don't know.
Yeah, but either way, that's not like that's not a guy who's been pulling the weights to do that. That's a guy that something's happened there. Whereas Leighton Van Der Esch and Takiyo Spikes,
you are bringing,
like, they've been working on things.
The hard hitting analysis here.
Like, I don't. We've got the gym. We've got a nice Y. Like a block up from the office. Yeah,
we don't have great snacks, but we do have a nice Y membership through PFF.
And, you know, we've hit the gym every now and again. I don't even know what machine in there you would use to, like, work the side neck.
I think it's all natural.
Yeah?
I think you just do bridges. You sit on your neck the whole time for hours on end.
Okay. That doesn't seem worth it.
It's a bad podcast right now.
You can speak for yourself.
I'm taking Dallas.
Yeah, we're both taking Dallas.
We're both taking Dallas.
Win.
Great. So we're both taking Dallas against...
That sounded very Matt Hasselbeck.
And we're going to win. Taking the ball, and we're going to win it. All right, the night game, the nightcap. Our boy George Shahuri from the PFF Forecast will be in New Orleans for the Falcons-Saints game because that's what he does for the Sunday Night Football crew. Mike Tirico is going to be on the call. They're giving the boss the day off here, Sam. They're giving him a Thanksgiving with the family.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to call the Thanksgiving. I know, right? Chris.
He listens to this now, so he's just heard that.
The guy works one day a week. What a gig. What a gig.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't do anything throughout the week. He just works one night.
Right.
For 3 hours.
They get him
That's
on a plane.
It.
They wheel him out. He slides in.
Slides
gives
in.
Gives his take.
3 hours and he's out.
Bounces.
What a gig the boss has.
Well, that's where you can aspire to down the line, Steve.
Oh, that's
one day.
That's the goal.
One day you, too, could be working one day a week.
I do 3 hours of actual work a week. No, that's what I used to joke about me pitching. As a relief pitcher, you pitch like 3 or 4 innings a week. Probably takes about 20 minutes. 20 minutes a week.
Yeah.
I used to work.
I mean, the good news is, at that point, Al will still be there. Like, he's never going.
No, he's not.
He's going to be in that chair forever.
He's not. Just kidding. Chris works really hard on prepping for these games. That's why he's really good. Falcons at Saints.
He can't just walk that back and drop that.
I can't. If he's listening,
no. At that point,
I don't want him to end it on Steve.
He's been
you know,
in his car, and at that point, he's already paused the podcast, dialed up Neil, and has been like, "Fire that guy right now."
No, but I just saved it.
No, because he'd already hung up. He'd already stopped listening, and was already fuming on the phone to Neil.
It's going to turn into the Sam Monson podcast. You're by yourself.
Perfect.
Do the Falcons have a chance here? We were talking in the office the other day. The spread is just ridiculous. It's like 13 or something.
Yeah, it's like 2 scores.
So my whole thing with this is, no matter how well the Saints have played the last few weeks, right, there's the previous 3 or 4 years, these teams have been back and forth and tight games. And just earlier in the year, it was a 6-point win, I believe it was, for the Saints. But in overtime, and you know, the game legitimately could have gone either way. Like, have things changed that much that the Saints are massive, massive favorites here? I know they're the best team in the NFL. We've talked about that. They're hitting on all cylinders on both sides of the ball. Drew Brees playing at a ridiculously high level. It's at home. A lot of things in their favor, but a 2-touchdown game here? I think it's going to be closer than that.
Yeah, I do. And the other thing that's at play here that's probably not getting factored in is Deion Jones should be back this week. I think we thought he was going to play last week. He was at least practicing last week, didn't end up suiting up, but he is back this week. And he makes a difference to that defense. We've seen it against the Saints, what he can do.
Game-ending interception against Brees last year.
He can change games. And if you look, you're right. They've been back and forth over the past few seasons. It's been pretty close. There hasn't really been that many blowouts. 2016, and it was the Falcons that won this one. They had a ton of points versus the Saints. The Saints are really good, and that offense is very much unstoppable at the moment. But it is in a dome. Now, okay, it's not the home dome for Atlanta, but it's inside, so Matt Ryan
he'll be fine.
Doesn't have
he'll
to go outside fine. Of Pennsylvania.
Right.
He can play in the dome.
Yep.
Their offense should be pretty explosive. We've seen from Julio Jones, he's still making big plays. He leads the NFL this year in explosive receptions, 33 of them, which I think is something like 7 more than anybody else. Like it leads it by a big margin. It's not just a few. So everyone was kind of, you know, where did Julio Jones go? Because he didn't score any touchdowns. And then he got a couple of touchdowns. Like, Julio's back! Like, but he's been making these explosive plays all season long.
I mean, can we just come back to don't judge players just by touchdowns? Can we just keep it that simple? Don't judge players by touchdowns.
Okay.
I mean, obviously that's the goal of the game is to score touchdowns.
Yeah.
But you can make other plays to help put your team in position to better score touchdowns.
Yes.
If you just, I mean, it is like judging players like by sack totals. Well, this guy's got 10 sacks. This guy has 10 touchdowns. Therefore, he must be good. But we have seen both of those numbers they fluctuate. They're opportunity driven. And Julio was just fine when it comes to, you know, his production. I will say that we've talked about it over here too. His play, he's not really the ideal red zone receiver. He's got good build up speed. He's a really good route runner for a guy that his size. And when you give him that 10 to 15 yard, you know, head of steam running routes, he's really good at getting in out of cuts and stuff like that. But he's actually not as good in smaller spaces. And while he can make contested catches, he's not a great fade receiver either. So I mean, he's not really a great red zone threat, so to speak.
I mean, I don't think the other problem is I don't think Matt Ryan is a good fade thrower.
That's another part of the game. Yeah,
it's.
You think that they should be able to run fades and back shoulders off of that.
The only way that fades work, I think, is if you do a Peyton Manning style, which is I'm going to try and put this ball on the pylon at the back of the end zone.
And then you don't need a big receiver. That's just beat your guy off the line of scrimmage and just get to the back pylon.
You go get to the back pylon, I'll drop it into the bucket over the top of you, and you know if you get there quick, you can make the jump ball.
Right.
This idea of I can hang it above your head, a yard behind you, not really knowing how the dynamic of you versus the corner off the line is going to go, and I can do that accurately, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Receivers, there's too much going on between the receiver and the corner, how physical that gets off the line of scrimmage, and you trying to like guesstimate where they're going to get to in the back of the end zone. It's just, it's too much of a moving target, and you can't make that happen. Like, very few quarterbacks, I think, can successfully do that. Most quarterbacks, if they attempt to do it, can drop the ball onto the back of the pylon if they just
Are tough. Those are still tough.
Right, but I think that's the only way fades work on any kind of high percentage of plays.
It does take incredible timing there. As always, when these two teams match up, Julio Jones versus Marshawn Lattimore, every time they're matched up, I think that's going to be 10 years of must-see TV, 10 years straight. So we're all taking the Saints, but I'm expecting, or we're both taking the Saints, but I'm expecting...
Yeah, closer than 13.5 point spread or whatever it is.
Agreed. And I think...
Watch them get blown out.
Not to give away our green line picks, but... Oh, should we talk about our promotion?
Oh, the free trial.
Yeah.
Yes.
Explain.
Okay. Right now, if you go to profootballfocus.com, if you've ever wanted to get in to check Greenline, for example, which has picks that can make you money, actually nail... Which game was it? Was it the... What game did we nail the score of last week? The Thursday night game? Like, actually had it dead on. The points, the score for either side, et cetera, et cetera. Greenline predicted the whole thing. Greenline is up to 26th, last time I checked, out of 20,538 picks in terms of against the spread. Mm-hmm. That's obviously the 99.9 whatever percentile. Very good. So Greenline can make you some money. Premium Stats 2.0 is where we pull all of the information from for this podcast when we talk information, as opposed to just annoy people by talking about banality. That's where we get our stuff from. What else we got in PFF Elite?
Well, with Elite, you get all the Edge products, so it's all of our fantasy products.
All the fantasy stuff. So anyway, all these things you can get if you would normally have to pay for PFF Elite, which is well worth the money, and it's so much worth the money that we have opened it up for a free trial. You can go sign up right now for a free trial for 3 days of access, essentially. So you can sort of see this thing function through the week and see how things change. 3 days of free access. There's an article on our website, top right-hand corner, if you go there right now, profootballfocus.com. We'll walk you through how to do it. There's a couple of little steps just in terms of the signing up. Very easy process, though. And then you're in. You get to see the back end of everything. You get in, and you're good. And that's going to run through this holiday period, the Black Friday, the Thanksgiving, through the weekend, potentially even Cyber Monday as well. But that's to be determined right now.
I'm excited to hear. If you've never played around with this at all, played with PFF Elite, with premium stats and you know the new things that you could find there, I'm really curious to hear everyone's feedback on that and Greenline, a part of PFF Elite, all free for the next few days. All right, let's get into some of the best games on Sunday. Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings. Both teams coming off of tough losses. Green Bay Packers losing to the Seattle Seahawks last Thursday night. The Vikings losing to the Chicago Bears. I mean, we're pretty much in must-win territory for both teams here if they're going to keep playoff hopes alive. And we talked about the Packers maybe punting their playoff hopes on 4th-and-2 with that Thursday game with about 4 minutes left. What are you looking for in this one, Sam?
Yeah, that was a nice nice little play on words the forecast guys did. I enjoyed that. Obviously, this was the tie, right? This is the game they met earlier in the season and managed to tie. Kirk Cousins executed the comeback, albeit after throwing what should have been an interception. The comeback should have been successful because the Vikings kicker missed everything that night. Couldn't kick to save his life. Got cut after the game. So this is it's kind of an interesting game, right? Because it could go anyway. They could be the team that went down in a big hole early. They could be the team that actually executed the comeback and should have won because of the kicker. Or they could be somewhere in the middle, and who the hell knows what's going to happen out of it. The thing that's come out of the past couple of weeks, I think, is this idea of Kirk Cousins regressing under pressure. Like, he was playing unsustainably well under pressure, which ran contrary to everything we'd seen from him over his career before.
Right.
And we were speculating, you know, you do get these players sometimes where you can have a whole season that is an anomaly. It's an outlier. And he'll come back down to earth next year. But at some point, if you're doing it so consistently well over a season, you expect it to start happening. You expect it to keep going. Last week, it really didn't. And Cousins struggled under pressure badly for the first time in a while.
By the way, the prime example of that from a season standpoint was Carson Palmer in 2015.
Yeah,
Eli Manning in 2011, actually,
right.
Too. Guys who, for their whole career, you're like, bad under pressure, struggled under pressure. And then for 1 year, just incredible under pressure.
Yeah.
To this point, Cousins has taken a career trend of bad, turned it into one of the best in the NFL. And again, the risk there when you're using this in your analysis is that it is very difficult to sustain.
Yeah. Now, he's still top five in terms of passer rating under pressure for the season, with a passer rating of 86 under pressure, which sounds terrible in this world now of passer ratings over 110 and all this kind of stuff. But under pressure, that's a pretty insane number. Like, the passer rating typically drops like 30, 35 points. We should actually rerun those numbers this year with the crazy explosion in passing.
Yeah, further now.
And see what that is now. But if you look at it, say, versus just last week that passer rating was 47. So last week took a real hammer to his numbers under pressure. No touchdowns, an interception under pressure, completed 43% of his passes. Last week was bad. Obviously, that's a really good defensive front. Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, they destroyed the Vikings' offensive line. But that's the concern. He has been under pressure a ton this season, and actually last week wasn't under pressure any more than his season average. A little bit more. 42% last week, 40% overall. So it's right in the same ballpark. It's not like he was under pressure a ton more against the Bears. It just, he didn't work the same way. He didn't function under that pressure. So for the Packers, I think the key to this game is how much pressure can we put Kirk Cousins under, and let's see if it's the wheels have started to fall off that wagon.
And for perspective, in the first game, they put him under pressure 17 out of 52 dropbacks.
Right. Not a huge amount.
He was 8 for 13 for 140 and a touchdown, a 123.9 passer rating. Now, again, just from normal analysis, you would say if they do that again, you know, if Kirk Cousins has 13 more attempts under pressure in this game against the Packers, it's a very slim chance that he's got a 123.9
right.
passer rating. You know, so, you know, you still want to try to get that pressure because from a clean pocket, he tore him up last time.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. The whole Cousins had a chance to completely change the narrative because he went from game ending interception to leading a pretty impressive comeback thanks to the, that terrible roughing the passer call.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about this game is that last time they played, Danielle Hunter did not have a great game.
Yeah.
But this time, I think he might have more joy going up against Brian Bulaga, who's been playing at right tackle. He hasn't been playing particularly well this season. He's had some good games in there, but that just feels like a matchup that Danielle Hunter can actually get the better of over the course of the season. Yep. If he's already been had one game where he didn't, I would expect that to swing back the other way this time.
Aaron Rodgers was also, this was week two when he was playing with one leg, getting rid of the ball extremely quickly. Now he's got his mobility back. We'll make a few more plays outside the pocket. We'll see if Anthony Barr can track him down and hurt him.
Is Anthony Barr playing?
Oh, shoot,
he's
sorry.
Been banged up.
I was more just referencing last year's, you know, Anthony Barr injuring
yes.
Aaron Rodgers. So it's a different Aaron Rodgers, too, from what they've...
Huh.
what they're playing.
Barr says he will play against the Packers after missing.
You have to play.
Time.
Rodgers having one of the more fascinating seasons because 43 throwaways. What's the record again? Has he set it already?
He might already be there.
43 throwaways this year, which is next closest is Jared Goff with 27, and then Alex Smith with 21. That's incredible how many throwaways he has.
Yeah, that
but
is
he's only
lot.
Got three turnover-worthy throws. He's got a few turnover-worthy fumbles. That's a kind of a thing, too. You know, fumbles aren't always the quarterback's fault, so to speak. There are some bad fumbles in there for Rodgers. But only three turnover-worthy throws, that's by far the best percentage per attempt in the league, under 1%, and he only has one interception. So 19 touchdowns, one interception. But is he leaving plays on the table? Is he not aggressive enough? Our guy Mike Renner always says he's not aggressive enough. That's why he's got the 43 throwaways. What if he just took a few of those and you just chucked a few jump balls in there?
Right, and that's always been his MO. His MO is that he doesn't turn the ball over, and consequently you're going to get... So we've always charged him with more sacks than most quarterbacks because
right.
he will typically take a sack more than he will put the ball into a silly situation and try and right. force something. So, yeah, I mean, that's... I think that's what you get with Aaron Rodgers. It's this mix of he's not going to make that mistake, but he's not going to be as aggressive as some other quarterbacks. And sometimes you need that. I mean, that's what we've talked about with Kirk Cousins before. There's something to be said for these quarterbacks that will be aggressive when the time comes. It doesn't always work out. Like sometimes that aggressiveness will cost them the big mistake that
right.
completely seals the game for the other team. But at the same time, there's only so many times you can check down the field in a critical situation and have it work out. Like you actually sometimes need to just be aggressive and say, screw it. Let's give somebody a chance to make a play.
And it's also the point of the season where Aaron Rodgers should probably just say, screw it. Go make some plays.
Right.
Right.
What's he got to lose right now other than his fancy interception total?
If you are a Packers fan, I'd like to hear from Packers fans. Are you rooting for disaster the rest of the year? Because a lot of Packers fans aren't believing in Mike McCarthy, or are you rooting for another playoff run? You know, win out, playoff run, and see what happens. Curious to know where Packers fans stand on that one. We're both taking the Vikings in this one, though.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I didn't love it at all. I did not love it.
Do not like that.
Can I skip a pick? It's like
no.
like in the SATs, you could skip questions, and it
no.
doesn't work against
if
you.
If you're going to do anything, you need to go Green Bay to make me feel better about picking the Vikings.
Do you want me to take Green Bay?
Sure.
Gordon, can I change my pick?
Have you put it in there?
No, I haven't. No, it's not official. Should I do it?
Yeah, do it. Do it, do it.
GB. All right, going Green Bay.
Nice.
I've officially changed my pick.
Excellent.
Now we can... oh, boy. It's going to hurt our competition. All right, let's get to another huge game. The Seahawks at the Panthers. The Panthers lost a couple straight. After I declared, what did I say? They're the worst, 6-2 team?
You've been saying that about multiple teams. I've given up listening
I hate
to the
every
teams
team.
You think are the worst six and whatever team.
Seahawks at Panthers. You've got Russell Wilson. He's playing well, but he's made a couple key mistakes this year. Pick six worthy key mistakes so far this year. He had one of those games, again, against the Packers where he started off slow, made the big throws down the stretch. Cam Newton, another guy, I think, an interesting year for Cam Newton, where he's got one of the lowest average depths of target in the entire NFL, under 8. By
he's
far
be the lowest of his career.
By
right?
far the lowest of his career.
Right.
He's usually at 10 or 11, and that is helping him statistically. It's helping his accuracy. It's helping his completion percentage. But he's also one of our lowest graded quarterbacks on third down. So the analysis there, I think, is that the Panthers have done a very good job of scheming things up. The DJ Moores and Christian McCaffreys of the world have finally, for the first time in Cam Newton's career, he has guys making him look better statistically than he's playing, which I think overall is a good thing, but you still want to see him play a little bit better on key downs, on third down, and as we said on the Monday podcast, he's not playing as well as his MVP season. It's really not that close. He's not playing close to his MVP season, despite what the stats say.
Right, and that's the interesting thing, is there are people that believe he is. Which is fascinating because the statistics are actually quite similar. Like if you look at the box score stuff, again, the things we've been railing against, if you look at the stats, they are quite similar. The 2015 MVP season and 2018 this season. And you know, people have been saying, oh, PFF hates Cam Newton. We never say a good thing about him. We're only ever talking about him being inaccurate. And that really isn't true, because we were saying how great he was during that 2015 season. We were talking about him as an MVP candidate. By the end of the year, he ranked above Carson Palmer when you factor in the playoffs, because Palmer turned up and had one of the worst playoff outings anybody's ever seen.
He was hurt, but he also,
right,
you know.
Whereas Cam Newton played well in the playoffs, even though it didn't end the way you would like it to. So we ranked him higher by the end of the season in our 101, et cetera, et cetera. So PFF likes Cam Newton when he plays well. And he's been playing reasonably well this season, but not as well as he did during that spectacular 2015 season. And, yeah, if you just focus it on third and fourth downs, because I think that's a good way of differentiating the two of them, even though overall those numbers are working out broadly similar. Let's look at PFF grade on third and fourth down. In 2015, Cam Newton's grade was up near 70 when it comes on third and fourth down. 2018, it's at 59.2.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
A big difference on the key downs. And the statistics are the same as well. Like eight big-time throws versus four turnover-worthy plays in 2015. This season, it's just two big-time throws versus five turnover-worthy plays on third and fourth down. So, like, those are kind of, if you think about those in the way of touchdowns to interception ratio, right? Those are a lot of people like to use touchdown to interception ratio as a measure of quarterbacks. And fundamentally, it makes some sense. But we've talked before about how badly both those numbers can be skewed.
Right.
You know, you throw a screen to a wide receiver, he takes it 80 yards for a touchdown. That's giving you credit for something you did nothing to achieve other than pass the ball 10 yards to your right. But big-time throws, turnover-worthy plays, that's a more accurate reflection of what those are. So like a 2-to-1 ratio in your favor looks great. 1 to more than 2 in the other direction is bad.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's just one quick number that articulates the difference.
We should push that more. Big-time throw to turnover-worthy throw ratio. I've put that out there before. That's where like Rodgers is like 26-to-3 this year in that Breeze is like 21-to-5.
So again, like there's a couple more numbers in here that say the same thing, but yards per attempt is like a yard higher in 2015 on those downs. Average depth of target is 2.5 yards higher in 2015 than it is now on third and fourth down. Air yards, pass the sticks, all this kind of stuff. Basically better. He's not as good this year as he was in 2015, even if the box score says so.
Completely agree. And just one quick example, again, just not trying to tear Cam down at all, but one of the best throws he made on Sunday against the Lions was on third down, third and long, deep out to DJ Moore. The throw was fantastic.
Right.
It was a deep out. It was about 15 yards. And DJ Moore turned it into an 80-yard gain.
Yeah.
Now, that was one where we give Cam the credit he deserves for completing the deep out. But 99% of the time, that 15-yard deep out ends up as a 15 to 20-yard gain. And that's it. The fact that it turned into 80 was completely DJ Moore being awesome on that play. So again, a great example where we're giving proper credit, but we're giving the type of credit that usually leads to about 15 to 20 yards, not 80 yards, which was all DJ Moore. But Cam did make even though he missed the final throw, made a lot of pretty good throws.
He did.
Against Detroit, played pretty well.
The thing that came out of last week was this was like a coming out party for all the talented young players that the Panthers have in terms of weaponry. So DJ Moore, the best game of his career by a distance. Curtis Samuel was making a bunch of plays, which we haven't really seen that much of. Christian McCaffrey has been playing well all season, even if he didn't have a great game this time. If they get all of those guys firing, like this is, they've assembled this kind of really talented group of weapons that we just haven't seen consistently perform. They've been playing better this year, but if they could get all of them clicking at the same time, this Panthers offense would be really formidable.
All right, huge game as far as NFC playoff implications. All right, I think I'm going Carolina on this. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
We're both going Carolina
and
on
again,
this one.
Again, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Well, the Seattle flying to the East Coast thing.
It is a long way.
But huge.
Seattle, I think, have started to show that they are better than their record has been belying. And again, it's this idea of they've had to play the Rams twice. And they've run them close twice, but they lost twice.
We haven't discussed Rashad Penny yet.
Okay.
He's had some big games.
He has.
He's looked pretty good.
Rashad Penny's good. Like, I'm not entirely sure why it took him so long to actually be, on the field. I think part of it is this idea of the biggest thing he had to work on coming out of college was pass protection, which was woeful.
Right.
And NFL teams hate putting a guy on the field if they can't trust him to pass block, particularly for running backs. Because
largely when you're asking them to do something, it's to pick up a free rushing blitz, and you need to know where it's coming from. And if you don't, the quarterback's getting killed.
Yeah, it's more about the knowledge of where the blitz is coming from rather than can you block this
right.
linebacker.
But it's a case of when you screw it up, there is a free rushing 250-pound linebacker coming right at your quarterback.
Right.
So like those are in the pantheon of risky plays to have. That's about as bad a screw up as you can get. So teams hate putting running backs out there if they can't trust them to do that. And I think there's definitely part of that with Penny. For the rest of it, if like, I don't understand why they weren't putting him out there to just get some carries early on, even, you know, in obvious rushing situations. But for whatever reason, they weren't. Now they are, and he's making some plays.
Yeah, this should be a pretty good game. Russell Wilson, I think, has to make some big plays in here. And he's had a lot of those good plays, and he's had those pick sixes. Like I said, he needs a good, clean game if Seattle's going to pull this one off. All right, we got to go rapid fire here. We're about 40 minutes in, Sam. So we're going to
say that, and we never achieve that.
We're going to go rapid fire through the rest of the league. We've hit on the big stuff, but we need to hit on every single game. The Giants Run the Table Tour is taking them to Philadelphia.
Yeah, where it'll end.
Oh, you're telling me their two-game winning streak against the 49ers and the Bucs is going to end in Philadelphia?
Yes.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Eli Manning against Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, this is going to be the selling point of this Philadelphia team still is their defensive front, the pass rush they can generate. They still have three guys in like the top 15 in terms of edge rushing pressures. The Giants' offensive line is not great at all. So the Eagles are going to get a ton of pressure on Eli Manning, and that's probably going to be enough to determine this game.
All right, there you go. Watching the Eagles' D-line again. Can Carson Wentz bounce back from his three interception game? We're all both taking the Eagles. I don't know what everyone else's picks are.
Yeah, nobody's picked yet. So that's how early we're recording.
That's
this
how
podcast.
Early we are.
Nobody
that's
else
why.
Has actually bothered to pick anything yet.
What are you watching for in the Oakland Raiders Baltimore Ravens game? Oakland at the Ravens.
Ugh. Are we getting Lamar again? Because that's the only thing that would make this interesting.
Yeah,
I'm interested by this whole Lamar Jackson at quarterback thing because it's the same as we said pre-draft, right? There is a path to success for him. It's just not going to be the same as every other quarterback. You can't expect him to just sit back there and be Joe Flacco because it's not going to work. I'm not even saying Joe Flacco's good. I'm just saying stylistically, he can't do the same thing and have it be a productive way of playing for him.
At the same time, I wrote the whole article last year. There's the path to success for Lamar Jackson, and I mentioned the QB running game. I did not expect it to be like a 24 carry per game type of offense.
They may have gone overboard.
Yeah, it's more like 10 to 15.
Right.
8 to 10 of those are designed. And what happened at Louisville is the designed running game opened up play action. There is something, too. If you have to account for extra people for the quarterback in the box, the play action game gets opened up. And an inherently inaccurate quarterback like Lamar has more open throws.
And that's what was missing from last week, right, is they ran the ball a ton. He made some crazy plays where he escaped pressure and kind of got rid of the ball. We didn't have the play-action fake, the hold-it-back, and, oh, look, there's a guy 30 yards downfield wide open in the middle of the field.
Right.
That's the play that was missing from his game last year that would have made it really the typical Lamar Jackson game. So I'm just curious to see what they do, right? Do they continue with this style of offense? Do they try and rein him back a little bit from all the rushing attempts? Because part of the deal is if you are setting up legitimate read option plays, it's not really in your hands how many times he carries the ball, right? In one way, it's the defense determining that. And in the other way, it's basically Lamar. Because in theory, you take what the defense is giving you, and if every single play they're crashing on the run, they're giving you the quarterback keeper, he's going to pull that every single play.
The thing is, like what Seattle did with Russell Wilson a couple years ago, they would have look, but he wouldn't necessarily be reading. You can actually hold the defense just by having the threat, but saying, hey, look, Lamar, you're handing off on
but
this
But with
one.
Lamar, I suspect they are giving him the option.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
At which point, it's not really in John R. Harbaugh's control that much how many times he's carrying the ball. It's either the defense or it's him just going, eh, I like my chances better than the running back here. I'm going to take it anyway.
Right.
So if they want to dial that down, maybe they need to introduce more of those plays where it's a read option look rather than a read option,
right.
Or you just have to hope that defenses themselves will adjust and start defending him more.
So we're all taking Baltimore in this one. Both taking Baltimore in this one. Jaguars at the Bills, the return of Josh Allen for the Bills. A challenge for Allen coming back against a pretty good Jags back seven. How many interceptions are you expecting from Jalen Ramsey? 1-3
One.
One interception for Jalen Ramsey against Josh Allen. I will say, Josh Allen, the offense for the Bills has looked better under Josh Allen than everybody. Well, I mean, Matt Barkley had
it's
the one.
Very much grading on a curve, but yeah.
A huge curve. I mean, we're talking about Derek Anderson straight off the golf course.
If you combine.
And then the worst statistical quarterback in history, Josh Allen has been better than both of those guys.
Yeah, yes. If you combine their team passing grade this year, it's the worst PFF grade we've seen in the last 7 years.
Wow.
The 2011 Jags offense.
Blaine Gabbert rookie season.
Right. Was the only collective PFF passing grade that's been worse than Buffalo this year.
Blaine Gabbert was horrendous as a rookie.
Yes. This was bad. Straight off the lockout, Gabbert from a system that wasn't ready, and it turns out he sucks anyway. So an unready, bad quarterback being thrown in as a starter from day one, coming off a lockout, was the only thing that's been worse than this Buffalo quarterback situation since we've been grading.
So the Jags have a chance to save their record.
They do. I think, though, that Buffalo's defense is going to really screw up that Jacksonville offense. Jerry Hughes is second in the NFL amongst edge rushers in total pressures at 50. He's first in pressure rate. Lorenzo Alexander continues this weird late career renaissance. Not even renaissance, just...
That's like renaissance, if you guys are American.
Blooming. He's actually broken out late in his career rather than rejuvenated an early career. But he's top 10, I think, in pressure rate on the other edge. I think they could really mess up that Jacksonville offense, which is kind of terrible. Like, their passing game is this idiot-proof system where it's all checkdowns. It's asking Bortles to do as little as humanly possible. It's all supposed to be on the run game, 41 carries last week, but the offensive line is bad and the running backs aren't capable of making all that happen on their own. So the running game kind of stinks as well. At which point, what have you got left? So Buffalo's defense is legit. They can get after the quarterback. At some point, Bortles is going to have to make a play, and I don't think he'll do that. So I'm going to go with Buffalo.
I think the holy grail of NFL games is not the 54-51 game we saw Monday night. It's 9-6, 6-3.
2-all.
Is this the game? Like Bills?
No, because someone will get like a defensive touchdown.
Bills 9-6.
No, it'll be like 17-9.
I think they played a game in the Byron Leftwich era that was 13-9. Opening day 2004.
Like
I would love a nice 13-9 win. Byron Leftwich threw a game-winning touchdown to win opening day 2004. I'm predicting. Jacksonville 13-9.
Okay.
Over Buffalo, I'm taking the Jags.
This is a game where if they can just convince Josh Allen to not throw the game away, I think they'll win.
Yeah.
But that's by no means a sure thing.
I'm interested. I want to see how Josh Allen's, he's coming back. Expectations can't be too high for him. He hasn't played in a while. Still a rookie.
Great when he was playing.
Yeah, that too. So Baker Mayfield's going to be in town. You're taking Buffalo, by the way?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield's going to be in town. Mm-hmm. Are you going to get his autograph?
Unless he comes by my house.
You're not going to the stadium? You're not going to be there at 6 a.m. waiting for him to come in?
I mean, the invitation's there. If he wants to come by, chill in the basement with the TV, like I'll invite him in.
Baker, if you want to stop by PFF offices, we'll open the doors. We'll open the doors on Sunday morning before the game.
Yeah, Sunday, yeah.
Or Saturday. You fly in Saturday. If you want to stop by, we made you, Baker. I'm kidding.
That's true. I was thinking Thursday games. You're right. Sunday, we'll actually be here.
Sunday, yeah, we'll be. You can
come by the couch. The couch
you can
office.
Watch some of the pregame with us.
Right.
Right.
We can get bagels. It'll be beautiful.
So, Baker, come by PFF offices Sunday morning. We'll be hanging out before your game against the Bengals. I see you've already picked Cleveland, so you're back on the Baker train.
Yeah, though it's more I think that the Bengals are terrible right now. The Browns aren't a bad team, right? Whereas the Bengals right now are. Is A.J. Green back for this? Because A.J. Green makes all the difference.
Good research
team.
Here, Sam.
Thanks.
We should... the Bengals' defense has been rough. Marvin Lewis taking over the play calling, though.
A.J. Green has a good chance to play versus the Browns.
As of now, as of Wednesday, good chance to play.
Of course, that differs from the article below it that says not on track to play on Sunday.
The Bengals banged up in some key areas. I thought they were going to be much better defensively because of that defensive front. So that's been a big disappointment. They're in must-win territory right now, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Whereas the Browns are not technically out of the playoff picture. If they go...
They're really not.
Here's the thing. if they go 1996 Jaguars, who were 3-7,
wow,
and 4-7 and ran the table, they could do it.
It's like, so for the past few seasons, it's always been the sort of funny joke of how late into the season the Browns are still mathematically alive. This year, it's like, what, week 12 are we going into?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And we're feeling it here at PFF. Our draft content is just not, it's just not hitting home as much. Usually it's like, hey guys, it's September 30th.
Yeah, the Browns are all over the draft.
Here's our mock draft. Here's our draft board. And it's like, Cleveland goes nuts. Our draft content is taking a hit on page views because of Baker Mayfield.
Because of Baker. So ironic, really, since our draft content was Baker Mayfield last year.
Right. It's killing us. So I'm taking Cincinnati to bounce back in this one. You're taking the Bake Show.
Yeah, the Browns.
Patriots at Jets. Patriots coming off a bye week at New York. The Jets have, in games in New York, even though the Patriots are a much better team than the Jets overall, they've played some pretty close games over the last couple of years. The Jets give Brady some trouble sometimes, you know, just make the pass game a little bit more difficult. Jets beat writers, Manish, they're burying Gronk. Just burying.
Why?
Stopsky, what happens in New York? Like, when the Jets are terrible and the Giants are terrible, they just have to just, they just start trashing other teams?
Essentially, yeah.
Okay. So, they're burying Gronk. Like, Gronk's done.
Okay. So, to maintain our rapid fire here, I'm going to give you one thing, and it's the only thing I think about this game, and then I'm done. Nobody, no quarterback in the NFL has thrown a greater percentage of his passes that are uncatchable than Sam Darnold this year.
Good nugget.
The end.
Sam Darnold needs to do a better job. Jets beat writers are also pushing the last rookie quarterback to beat Bill Belichick and the Patriots, Geno Smith, 2013.
Geno
Smith, wow. The future of the New York Jets back in 2013. We're both taking the Patriots in this one. Mm-hmm. Give our listeners and viewers something to watch for in the 49ers game against the Bucs. Jameis.
Jameis is back starting, whereupon, well, at least for the first half.
Jameis is starting for the first half before Fitzpatrick comes in to bail him out. Is this the new formula for the Bucs?
If I was the Bucs for the rest of the season, I genuinely would think about doing that. I would almost like
you're starting today, you're closing.
I'd almost flip a coin. Like the locker room before the game, everybody goes through the game plan, right? You're both prepared as if you're the starter. We get to the locker room, game plan, we flip the coin. Jameis, you get the first half, and then depending on how that goes, we decide if Ryan's coming in at halftime.
I've been comparing Jameis to guys like Carson Palmer and Eli Manning for their volatility this whole time. Should it have been Ryan Fitzpatrick this entire time?
Probably.
I mean, Jameis really Ryan Fitzpatrick?
They are the same guy.
They're like Spider-Man.
Seriously.
Meme.
Game this out for me, right? My plan of the coin flip before the game. Why is that bad?
I don't know. I think a good tweet for you. You always suggest tweets for me. A good tweet for you would be Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Spider-Man meme where they're looking at each other.
No, that's a terrible tweet.
That's a good one.
It's an awful tweet.
That's a good one.
This is why you have less followers than me.
Fewer?
No, less.
Is it less?
No, it's not.
It's because of one rogue Colin Cowherd tweet.
So, seriously, explain to me why the coin flip is a bad idea.
You got to see what you got with Jameis.
You know what you have in Jameis. It's the same thing you've had since day one. It's the same thing you've had since freshman
Jameis.
They're going
to throw for 6,000 yards as a team here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And lead the league in interceptions. It's going to be incredible. What a team this Bucs team is. I'm taking the Bucs. I'm taking Jameis and the Bucs in this one.
I want to watch Nick Mullins again.
Oh, that's something to watch for. Cardinals at the Chargers. What are we watching for in this one? Joey Bosa against the Cardinals offensive line.
Oh, no. That sounds bad. The Cardinals... They're bad. They're really bad. They managed to lose to a Raiders team that are basically trying to tank the season. Not only that, but they managed to find a way of doing that while scoring a touchdown to ice the game. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah.
So
it's the worst offensive line in the league. This is the game. I think the Chargers should really dominate this one. The Chargers chargered last week, though.
The Chargers chargered.
Oh, yeah. They chargered. Lost a game that they shouldn't have lost.
I kind of feel sorry for Josh Rosen because given the situation he's in, he's doing okay at times, right?
Yeah,
it's like he gets in this sort of quicksand situation where it goes wrong early and then he just sinks deeper and deeper trying to dig his way out of it. And there's nothing he can do with the volume of pressure coming on it.
But it seems to like every other game or so, he plays okay. It's not a disaster, and he kind of he keeps his head above water, keeps his head above the quicksand, if I'm going to continue that metaphor.
Honestly, I don't know what, no matter what the situation is, I think that's going to be Josh Rosen.
Maybe, right? But my point is, you'll go through this entire season and have no idea because you can't judge a guy in this situation. Like, it's completely impossible to overcome what he's playing with.
I'm telling you, Rosen's going to have this incredible ability, much like a Jameis, much like an Eli. If you are a fan of his, you can put on your Twitter timeline if you want all of the great stuff, and here's why he's great. Or if I'm a hater, I could put all the bad stuff. There's going to be plenty to go around.
Absolutely. I'm just saying we're basically wasting an entire season of not being able to quantify that because of the situation around him.
O-line's the worst in the league. We're both taking the Chargers. Three games to get through. Pittsburgh at Denver. Can Denver, again, they play pretty well at home. They have what our number four defense and our grades. Can they slow down this Pittsburgh offense, which was slowed down for about three quarters on Sunday?
I think they can. This is the other game that I really didn't like picking because I picked Pittsburgh and I hate it.
Yeah.
I think this Denver defense is – everyone forgot about them because they started the season so badly.
Right.
And we're like, oh, this is regressed. It's the great defenses they had a few years ago. It's disappeared. But it's actually starting to round out again and look like a really good defense.
Yeah, literally every defense has been written off at some point because they've had bad games this year.
They're generating pressure. Your guy Bradley Chubb is overtaking Derwin as the best rookie pass rusher in the league.
Absolutely not.
You know, their front is playing well. Their secondary is still playing pretty well. Chris Harris, although he got kind of gashed this past week, is one of the best corners in the league still.
He's still allowing a passer rating under 70.
Right.
And by the way, Chubb has the most pressures on the team. He has 40. Von Miller has 38.
This has quietly been the worst season of Von Miller's career. And we were explaining away a kind of slump earlier in the year because of, you know, teams that were trying to do stuff to scheme him away, facing Mitchell Schwartz, who has shut him down in the past. But like, even when he's been on, he hasn't been kind of Von Miller on. Like, the only real Von Miller game in his season came against the Arizona Cardinals, the worst offensive line in football. He had two sacks, three hits, five hurries.
Fumbles and,
Like, that was the Von Miller we expect, and that guy really hasn't been there this season.
Nope, it certainly hasn't. So the Cardinals offensive line, just like the Bucs defense, I was looking it up the other day, just to go back to that real quick. The Bucs defense has like six or seven quarterbacks who had their best game of the season against them.
Yeah.
That's the Cardinals offensive line, too. So everybody's having their best game against them. I'm taking Pittsburgh. You're taking Pittsburgh, but we don't feel
I don't
great
like
about it.
Yeah,
don't Denver like has it. A chance to pull an upset here. Dolphins at the Colts. We got the return of Ryan Tannehill, a classic class of 2012 quarterback matchup between Ryan Tannehill and Andrew Luck.
Yeah, which obviously gives us the chance for the captain reading.
You have it fired up.
I think the captain is off his game lately. I don't know that they've been spectacular. And
it's really tough to be funny.
This one might be the weakest of them all. So anyway, with that said,
I hear the music.
The music has been cued. It's on. It's going. Dearest mother, the merriment of our most recent victory must be cut short. Word has reached me that a unit of dolphin men seek battle. Confounding. While they march to our dry land home camp, we shall drill in water so as not to be outmaneuvered. Great vigilance, Andrew.
Dolphin men.
Dolphin men. So I think that the captain is, I think he's struggling. I think the inspiration may have departed.
See, I would have referenced their leader having maybe an injured dorsal fin or something like that.
Not even a dorsal fin. That's where you got to go with the sidearm, right?
Is an injured sidearm?
Yeah.
Tannehill?
I mean, you don't think you say injured. I don't think the captain was using injured metaphor for his sidearm.
He would use a better word.
You know, misfiring, malfunctioning, whatever it is.
Well, Tannehill apparently still in pain.
Yeah.
Still hurting a little bit. But, you know, he was playing well for a couple weeks and then disastrous for a couple weeks.
Yes.
I think their chances rely on him. And again, just a completely different look for Andrew Luck, one of the, you know, guy facing, you know, one of the lowest pressure rates in the NFL. Just want to see, can the Colts go on a run here? I think is the big question.
I mean, they'll start against Miami, So where, if you had to guess, right, where would you say that the Colts rank in the overall PFF team grade standing right now? The Los Angeles Rams are number one, Saints number two, Chiefs number three, right? Patriots number four.
15.
This is basically exactly the way you think the league should be ordered right now. Huh?
15th.
No. They are tied with the Los Angeles Chargers for 9.
Wow.
They're a top 10 team.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Why?
Well, when we adjust for competition, though, Well, I know that they're 15th or so in our power rankings.
Yes.
So that's unadjusted.
Yes.
That's the stuff you're getting on Elite. That's unadjusted. Our power rankings, though, have them closer to 15th.
Right.
So that's telling. That's a telling number.
They are a better team than people think they are. And I include you in that. You are a person, Steve. They're better than you think they are. That's all I'm saying. Andrew Luck, obviously, we said, has been playing fantastically. The offensive line has come together. They've now been tested to the point where we're going, okay, yeah, this thing is real. The improvement there. They do have some weapons, though it's still a little bit too T.Y. Hilton dependent.
Yeah.
And the defense, like, they run this scheme that it's kind of the same as the offense, right? They run this quick passing scheme that is reasonably simple because of that. And it's just, it's effective. So they let the guy just make the simple, correct decision time after time. The defense is the same thing conceptually, which is they run this vanilla idiot-proof defense, and the idea is there's no thinking involved. You just do what you know you have to do every single play, and as long as you do it well because you're not being asked to think, you'll be okay. And that's kind of what's happened, right? Now, they've been helped by playing some pretty bad teams, but like this defense in particular is playing way above the talent level that they have.
This is the thing I was saying last year, right? Their defense was, if they had Andrew Luck last year, we'd be talking about how their defense is playing better than expected. They've done that for the second year, straight year, except they've got much better quarterback play with Andrew Luck rather than Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
We're both taking the Colts here.
Yeah.
Which brings us to Monday Night Football. Which Tennessee Titans show up? Oh, shoot. Is Blaine Gabbert playing?
Oh, no. Come on. Pick.
Going up against the Houston Texans. This is one where the Titans really need this one. They're 5-5, just like the Colts. The Texans, are they the worst 7-3 team? And I'm just kidding.
I'm not watching a Blaine Gabbert-led Texans team. I'm not doing it.
You want to bet early watching the highlights the next day?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. We would never do that. We watch every play. The Texans, 7-3 right now. Watson was not good at all last week against the Washington Redskins, but they still found a way to win because the Texans now number 5 defense in our grades.
Yeah.
And J.J. Watt, he's up over 90, got that elite grade. They have 4 players in their secondary graded of at least with a grade of at least 76 PFF grade, and 76 is very good. So the Texans have one of those sneaky good defenses now.
Defense is pretty good. I mean, the offense is Deshaun Watson and New Hopkins, which in and of itself is enough to be pretty good. I'm going to go the entire season not being convinced by the Texans, but it's not going to matter if they play a Blaine Gabbert-led Titans.
Or just their entire schedule.
Yeah, but in particular, a Blaine Gabbert-led Titans.
No, I agree.
We talked about Blaine Gabbert, worst performance we've ever seen. So, yeah.
So, for reference, the Texans have the number 12 PFF grade.
Can you explain to me why he's still getting employed?
Blaine Gabbert?
As a quarterback?
I don't know. Like, I mean, Colt McCoy's better than him.
What scenario would have to go through your head where you're like, yeah, we can't get a better option
the alternative
to start
what are the
than
alternatives?
Blaine Gabbert? Anybody. Literally anybody. Nick Mullins came off the practice squad and is a way better quarterback than Blaine Gabbert. I would suggest to you, Stephen, that you could literally, let's say you put a printout of every available quarterback that is not currently employed on a wall. You took a dart, you closed your eyes, and you heaved it at the wall. You would pick a better quarterback to start than Blaine Gabbert this weekend.
Ouch. Yeah. Okay, tough to argue.
Okay.
Tough to argue with that one. Again, the Texans have the Titans, the Browns, the Colts, the Jets, the Eagles, and the Jaguars to finish it off. They've got a road to the AFC South title.
Yeah, they do.
And technically, they're in this whole, you know, they're in the playoff picture to get a bye. I mean, them, the Steelers,
like,
the Patriots.
Do they have any shot of a win in the playoffs against a good AFC team?
I don't think so. Like, I said before, it's one of those, I feel like if the Chargers get a wild card, they go to Houston round one and pull the upset, and then the Chargers have to go play the Chiefs, the Patriots, or Steelers.
Yeah, and then lose.
Maybe. Chargers could pull those upsets.
Nah.
Unless they charge her.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it. We're taking, I just changed my pick to Houston.
Well, yeah.
I had a feeling Tennessee with their roller coaster could pull it off, but I'm taking Houston. You're taking Houston. Monday Night Football. Everybody enjoy your Thanksgiving. You going to enjoy Thanksgiving this year? Second time in America? Second year in America here?
Sure.
For Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
All right, you're just grumpy. I'm thankful for you, the PFF NFL podcast, for all of our listeners. I'm also thankful for free PFF Elite for the next 3 days through Black Friday or this weekend, whenever we're going to cut it off. Just get there and check it out. Sign up.
I mean, do you not already get it free? Have we been charging you?
Yeah, I have it free through 2076, is what my subscription says.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for it.
Okay. I was just
But everyone else can have that too, at least for 3 days.
Just making sure we weren't billing you for it.
No, never. I signed up for PFF. I work for PFF just so I can get it for free. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving week. Enjoy the games. We'll be back here on Monday with your Week 12 review. Quick break to tell you guys about NFL Game Pass, the only way that you can replay every game all season long. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. So every game that we're talking about right now, you guys can rewatch it after the fact. I'm going to be going back, and you guys can too. Go check out Lamar Jackson in week one. Go check out Dak Prescott and what that Cowboys offense actually did. Go check out Kyler Murray and his NFL debut. That's my favorite thing about NFL Game Pass. You can go back and watch at any time. And if you haven't watched a condensed game yet, you have to try it out. It's every play from the game back to back to back, so you can replay an entire NFL game in the fraction of the time it normally takes. It's how I'm able to follow all the MVP candidates, all the breakout stars, and, of course, your waiver wire pickups all season long. To see all the action this season and stay on top of all the big storylines, you need NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Just sign up now at NFL.com/ProFootballFocusNFL.